Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Fuck it.
Hey, mama. If you are a mom and are tired of the wash, rinse, repeat, burnout cycle of motherhood, this podcast is for you. If you feel lonely and isolated in your motherhood journey, this podcast is for you. If you feel like you have completely lost your identity since your babies were born, this podcast is for you. If you feel like every other mom has it together except for you, this podcast is for you. My name is Amanda, and I'm a life coach dedicated to teaching every mom the tools she needs to liberate herself off the back burner. I am living proof that a woman can be present and loving to her kids while also being a whole ass person outside of being that kid's mom. The secret? Learning when to say fuck it.
Hello, guys. My internet sucks a donkey dick right now, so I'm really like crossing my fingers that this recording ends up okay. I need to do something about my shit-tastic internet, because sometimes it's fine and then other times it's just struggling. It's just on the struggle bus, but it's all right. I'm here. I have exactly an hour from right now, this minute that I'm talking these words, speaking these words. I have an hour before I have to leave my house for virtually the rest of the day and evening. It's 11:45 a.m. I need to leave at 12:45 p.m. So that way I can pick up my oldest daughter, and then we're going to the elementary school to watch my second oldest daughter in the school play. She got the lead. Thank you very much. And then we're leaving the school right after the play is over and heading straight to Minneapolis, because my oldest has her solo performance. It's a competition weekend, and this one sucks. We're there Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Last one we were, I use only very loosely, only there Saturday and Sunday. Whatever. It is what it is. Dance mom life. This is going to be a wham bam, thank you ma'am episode. This is 100% my fault. I take full responsibility for not recording this episode earlier. Just, I didn't plan out my week properly, and here we are. But I already had it written out, and I already know exactly what I'm going to say. So let's do this. Before I dive into the meat of this episode, which I am very excited to talk to you guys about, I want to say thank you to those of you who have taken the time to write reviews on Apple Podcasts. It makes such a big difference. If you enjoy this podcast, if there are other podcasts that you enjoy and you listen on Apple Podcasts, please leave a review, because the algorithm, it is the god of social media, and social media is the way that entrepreneurs like myself get our business. That's how we get word out that we exist. That's how we reach other people who need our services, who need our help. And the algorithm is, the keeper of all of this. And so leaving a review on Apple Podcasts is a game changer. That is what really helps shows like mine, any show. So thank you so much for taking the time to do that. When you do that, or when you leave on Spotify, you can't leave a review, but you can, there's a Q&A section at the end of every episode. You can answer the Q&A. You can leave a rating. So a 5-star review. So you can't leave words, but 5-star rating on Spotify. Those things help so much. So thank you so much for those of you who've taken the time to do that. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that this show is helping you. And please continue to let me know stuff that you specifically would like me to cover. Every time that you leave a review or on Apple Podcasts, or a 5-star rating on Spotify, send me a snapshot of the rating on Spotify, obviously, because I won't know who you are, and DM it to me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn, so that I can enter you into my monthly book raffle, book and Starbucks gift card raffle. I've also been considering starting a book club, a Fuck It Mothering book club. If that is something that sounds intriguing to you, let me know. Either that would be a great thing to leave into the review section of Apple Podcasts, wink, wink, or you can DM me on social media, send me an email. My email address is fckitmothering@gmail.com. Because if that's something you guys are interested in, I'd actually like to put that together for us. Obviously, I love reading and I love encouraging other people to read as well. Books are just my best friends. And also wanted to invite you guys to join the Fuck It Mothering email newsletter. Now, personally, I hate emails. And so I've had a hard time promoting my email newsletter because I'm just like, as a mom, I fucking hate emails. I get so many emails. It's fucking ridiculous. From the school, from the dance studio, when we did karate, it was that. Like, all of the emails, right? And then all the electronic bills, all the work emails. There's just emails coming at me from every direction and it sucks. But email is still king as far as creating a community because it's not subject to an algorithm. So even if you're following me on social media, just because you're following me doesn't mean that the algorithm is going to push my content into your newsfeed when you log on. So you might be wondering like, hey, Amanda hasn't posted for a while. I haven't seen any like of my Fuck It Mothering encouragement or laughs for a while. Like, what's up? And you go to my profile and you're like, oh shit, there's like a bunch of posts that I missed because the algorithm was not putting my stuff in front of you. And so signing up to be on the Fuck It Mother email newsletter is a way for you to like reclaim your authority over the content that you ingest. So if you're tired of scrolling and only getting just mindless, numbing bullshit, and you want something that's actually going to feed your soul, actually going to feed your mind, join the Fuck It Mothering newsletter. So like I said, I had to convince myself when I first started my email newsletter, because I was like, if I'm going to do this, it has to be worth their while. If I'm going into someone's email, like I really treat that with the utmost respect because I myself hate emails so much. I do not spam you. It is only like my best work that goes into my emails because I recognize what a privilege it is for you to have opted into that. That being said, my current list, I have a very steady like 60, 70% open rate for my emails since the very beginning. And that's really high for email newsletters. If you don't know anything about email marketing, that's really, really high. And I think it's just because I recognize how precious it is that like how much trust you're putting in me by allowing me to be another person who emails you, mama. I really like, I fucking get it. It's really good stuff. It's really good stuff. It's my best work. And it's not subject to an algorithm. So you know for sure that you will be getting these thought work tips, these funny stories, these bits of encouragement every single week, no matter what, because the algorithm can't touch it. So I'm going to put the link to join my email newsletter in the description box of this episode. You'll also get a free copy of my time management guide for busy moms called Shit PJ Day is Today. I'm pretty fond of it. And you'll always get the Fuck It Mothering goodness straight to your email box. Now let's dive into this week's episode. So last week, I mentioned that one of my lifelong friends, Angelica, asked me to cover how to not feel guilty when asking for help. And I just thought that was such a good one because it comes up for so many people, right? Like so many people struggle asking for help, especially women with perfectionist brains, especially high achieving women. If you just like expect a lot of yourself, you are not asking for help. So it comes up when, for moms specifically, it comes up a lot when we need any kind of logistical help with our kids. As the kids, well, even when the kids are younger and they're young and they're toddlers and they're like making you want to rip your hair out, you need just like time away from them. You need fucking help. But we don't ask for help. And then as the kids get older, you know, as I said, I have a very busy evening and weekend ahead of me because my kids are in different extracurricular activities and it's just like mom taxi time. So whenever we need logistical help with our kids, we don't ask for help. Like we will bend ourselves over backwards. We will make all the extra trips. We'll do whatever we have to do before we ask someone for help. And when it comes up for me, a lot of times it has to do with some sort of thought like, well, it's my problem. It's not like another person's problem. This is my problem. I chose to let my kids do this. I chose to have kids, period. And it's now my responsibility to figure it out on my own. Otherwise, you know, that's not me owning up to my life choices. It's just such poisonous thinking to think like that, guys, because yeah, I chose to be a mom and yeah, I choose to let my kids do activities, but so what? That doesn't mean that I don't get to ask for help. If I didn't have kids and, you know, I had to have like a surgery or something and I needed to ask for help with whatever, then it's fine, right? Because, well, I didn't ask to have surgery, but like maybe just for the sake of argument, let's say the surgery happened because of a lifestyle choice, or it was a lifestyle choice, right? Maybe it's plastic surgery. You still get to ask for help because life is about community. And child rearing used to be a very communal act, you know, like villages of people, the women would band together and they were doing their household chores together. They were raising the children together. It was a communal act. It is only our modern American society, our capitalist society, that, you know, everything is about that bottom line, the dollar bill, that it's changed and it's suddenly like, well, that's a fucking you problem, bitch. You chose to have kids. What the fuck? If everybody decided to stop having kids, like our human race would just cease to exist. It's such poisonous thinking. But, you know, I also see it a lot. And I saw it in myself too when I was a stay-at-home mom, but I see it in women who are stay-at-home moms in asking their partners for help when they come home from work. And the thoughts are like, well, I know they're tired from working all day and like they aren't as patient with the kids because they're not like with them all day. And I feel bad when like they get stressed out and they end up yelling at the kids and the kids are stressed out because like I could just be here and manage everything. And then like everyone's calm. Yeah, everyone's calm except for you. You're not calm and you're a part of the family. And yes, your partner was outside of the home working all day, but you were inside of the home working all day. Just because you don't get a paycheck for the work that you do does not mean that it is not work. It does not mean that you don't get to have a break. It does not mean that you don't get to ask for help. I think the bottom line, like the base thought for everybody, whenever we're feeling guilty about asking for help, is it all boils down to the thought of like, well, I should be able to do this on my own. What's wrong with me? Why can't I do this on my own? And we look at other people and we do the compare and despair because we're just looking at their highlight reel and we say, well, they do it on their own. Look at them. They're doing it on their own. But they're not. Because none of us were ever meant to do this alone. We don't get married so that we can do life alone. We don't have friends so that we can do life alone. We don't stay enmeshed in our given family, because I firmly believe that friends are your chosen family. We don't stay enmeshed in our given family to do life alone. All of the thoughts that are pushing this idea, this belief inside of you that you should be able to do life alone and never ask for help is all just shame thoughts. Guilt can be a very useful emotion because it points out where we have fallen out of alignment in our value system. So if I do something and afterwards I feel guilty, I can take a step back and reflect on that and be like, yeah, that didn't feel good. That's not the type of person that I am. That was doing that was out of alignment with this core value of who I am. But shame is never a useful emotion. Because whereas guilt can tell you, I did something that I don't like, I did something bad, shame says, I am bad. Me as a person, I'm bad. There's something wrong with me. Instead of there was something wrong with that action that I took. So whenever we realize that shame is the culprit behind what we're feeling, you really need to investigate that. Investigate deep and do the work to rewrite the shame story into a love story. Another thing that comes up a lot when we're thinking about having to ask for help is, well, I feel bad asking them. I feel bad. Again, that comes from the, I should be able to do this on my own, so I feel bad inconveniencing them. But it automatically assumes that your request is a burden to them. And so I want to challenge you to think of a time when someone you loved needed help and they asked you for help. How did you feel about it? You probably were like, yeah, bitch, I got you. Of course. Why can't you do that for yourself? Because whenever we're worried that someone else is going to have negative thoughts about us, regardless of what it's about, but like in this case, you might be catastrophizing in advance and being like, oh, they're probably going to think like I'm really lazy and just don't want to do the work to try to like figure out how to get this done. Or, they're going to think that I'm just, I'm just a lazy, like welfare mom who just pops out a bunch of kids and expects everyone to take care of them. Just horrible stuff that we say to ourselves. Even if we're not on welfare, there's nothing wrong with being on welfare. As a transitional service, it's great to have resources there to help you when you need it. But just like really, really negative thoughts about ourselves, and we're projecting that onto other people. Because you never know someone else's thoughts, ever. Even if they tell you, they might be lying. Who knows? You never truly know what, and you especially don't know in advance what someone's going to think. So whenever our brains are catastrophizing like that, and we're like putting words in the horse's mouth, those are our words. They're coming from our brain. They have to come from somewhere. They're coming from our brain. Those are our thoughts about ourselves that we're just projecting onto other people. And I don't think enough of us really like consider that and stop to think like, oh, why do I have these thoughts about myself? If you change those thoughts about yourself and you change your perception. If you change the perception you have of yourself and you change the relationship you have with yourself, and you start on a journey to not shame talk yourself anymore, not shit talk yourself anymore, I think you'll find that you won't be so afraid to ask for help anymore. And also, like, if you do tend to have like judgy thoughts towards other people when they need help, get super curious about that. Ask yourself why. Why are you judging them so harshly? Is it because you judge yourself that harshly? Probably. And you can choose to stay like that, because we all get to choose. The point of coaching is not for me to come up with like a list of absolute truth. You know, this is the right way to live and this is the wrong way to live, and I'm here to teach you the right way to live. The point of coaching is to show you your own mind. It's to point out, this is how you're making your decisions, and ask you, do you like this? Do you like the person that you are? Do you like the results that you have? And you get to answer honestly, yes or no. And if it's yes, great, keep it. You know why you're doing the things that you're doing, and you like your reasons, keep it. But if you don't like your reasons, or if you don't like the things that you're doing, then we go to work changing it. That's the beauty of coaching. So that's it. I personally have had issues. Like I struggle asking for help. Not as much as I used to, but it is still a struggle. It is not my go-to, you know, gut punch to just ask for help right away, which I think is good, because otherwise we're not going to learn resourcefulness if we don't try to solve something on our own. But sometimes we just need help. Sometimes it is a job that, like, excuse me. Sometimes it is something that, like, you just can't do on your own. Either because, like, logistically, it literally doesn't work, like, because you're one person, you can't be in multiple places at once, or it's just too much. So I think there's a very good balance to be had between being resourceful and independent, but also recognizing that part of being a human is the community element, and there is no shame. There's nothing wrong with you for needing help. That's just the human experience, my friend. Embrace it. And it's going to feel shitty the first X amount of times that you ask for help. You're going to, because you're coming right up against all of these shame thoughts that you have about yourself. Shame thoughts that your brain has, like, solidified into truths, but they're not truths. And you get to rewrite that story. But it's hard. It's hard work, and it takes time. It's going to feel very uncomfortable in your body when you're learning how to do something new, always. But thoughts are just sentences in your brain, and emotions are just sensations in your body. I read something so interesting. I'm reading a billion books at once, as usual, but I'm reading this book called Breakup Bootcamp by, I think the author's name is Amy Chan. And she like did so much research and has like all of the footnotes, which is just like, it's so, like, I love that so much, because then I go into the back, like the bibliography section, and I have more books to read because I'm that much of a nerd. But in there, she quotes someone else's research. I forgot that person's name, but physiologically speaking, it actually only takes 90 seconds for an emotion to pass through our bodies. So from like the moment of inception, the peak, and then the conclusion of the emotion, 90 seconds. The only reason why we spin out for a lot longer than 90 seconds in an emotion is because we keep creating thoughts that bring it up again. We keep just like creating it over and over and over and over again for ourselves, and it feels horrible. But if we didn't do that, it would pass in 90 seconds. Are you willing to feel something in your physical body that is going to be feel so not that intense. Like, it's going to feel so much less than a migraine. It's going to feel so much less than childbirth. It's going to feel so much less than probably just pregnancy in and of itself. Like, the last month of pregnancy is so fucking uncomfortable. An emotion is not that uncomfortable. Are you willing to feel that? You just have to feel uncomfortable. If you can wrap your mind and just decide, I'm willing to feel uncomfortable, you will literally be unstoppable, because everybody, all of us, we just go through our lives with these unmanaged minds and we are scared to death of feeling uncomfortable. And we miss out on so much life, and we miss out on so many opportunities to speak up, to do the things that we love, to tell the person that we love them, all these things just to avoid the 90 seconds of discomfort. Let's stop doing that, huh? See you guys next week.
Are you living your one wild life to the fullest? You're not? Why the fuck not? What are you waiting for? The time to live is now, mama. Do not wait until your youngest is in college. Let your dreams hire me for an hour so I can explain how I can help you achieve any goal in your life. You've put yourself off long enough. It's time to pour into you. The link to schedule your 60-minute complimentary consultation is in my show notes. Join the community of Fuck It Moms by following me on Instagram and Facebook at Fuck It Mothering. That's fuck without the U. So F-C-K It Mothering. Make sure you subscribe to my channel so you never miss your weekly encouragement. And please rate, review, comment, and share. All of these things help with the algorithms, so that way when other overwhelmed moms are looking for encouragement, they can find me. Every month, I give away one of my favorite books and a Starbucks card to a lucky winner. All you have to do to enter is write a review or tag me in social media when you share an episode. See you next Sunday, gorgeous.